Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Two for Tuesday gets kicked off here with Ray Charles. Aldo requested this. Aldo is currently sitting in a parking lot in Michigan waiting for the polls to open. He's a new citizen and can't wait to exercise his right to vote. Good for you, Aldo. Good for you. And you're really early. But that's good, man. I hope we can entertain you until you go in and cast that all important vote. So we got a twofer coming from Ray Charles. And two for Tuesday will continue. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All right. So we're going to talk political movies. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And movies that you can watch that would be appropriate for this particular election. And there are many. So if you want to jump in here with your thoughts on political movies on this election day 2016, give us a call, 312-981-7200, or text us, same number, 312-981-7200. So I got a list here from Business Insider about the 22 best political movies ever that are ranked. And it's an interesting list. It's got a lot of good stuff on it. But for this particular election, there seems to be a few that seem to like for instance, Idiocracy, which is not necessarily it's not necessarily a straight political film, but Idiocracy is the one that is a movie that has really gained popularity and a following as the years have gone by. Because when the film first came out, Mike Judge's brilliant satire from 2006, when it came out 10 years ago, it barely received a release. And in fact, in the newspaper, when I was looking to see what the showtimes were, because my ex Heather and I went to go see it, anything that has Mike Judge's name on it is immediately something that I have interest in, because I love Mike Judge. I just think he's phenomenal. So I knew he had a new movie coming out, and 20th Century Fox just completely dumped it in a major, major way. In fact, in the newspaper, we were looking to see where it was playing, and it was playing at the City North over on Western. And the title, according to the newspaper, the title was Untitled Mike Judge Project. Like, they didn't even have the Idiocracy was not listed in the newspaper. All the theaters said that it was showing at, all four or five theaters, however small amount of theaters it was playing at. All of the titles were Untitled Mike Judge Project. So they didn't. So not only did they not buy any ads, not only did 20th Century Fox not do any commercials or do any promotion whatsoever at all, they didn't even bother to give the newspapers the name of the movie. It was, and Heather and I go and see it, and there were like seven other people in the theater, and it's brilliant, of course. I mean, Dan, have you seen Idiocracy?
I have not, all the way through.
Okay. Esmeralda, have you seen it?
I have.
It's so great and so funny, and now it's a documentary almost. It's terrifying. When the movie first came out, we were like, oh, this is so ridiculous. But it's you know, even Mike Judge has talked about how, you know, certain things have come to reality from this completely absurd sci-fi political satire. But yeah, everybody in the theater that we saw, we were laughing our heads off. We thought it was hilarious, and I was so, I went out of my way. I got back on the radio, and I was like, everybody, go see it. It's called Idiocracy. Go see it. And Esmeralda, did you see it on video, or did you see it in the theater? Or?
I saw it on DVD, I believe.
Okay. So yeah, because nobody saw it in the theater, because nobody knew even what the hell the title was. It was ridiculous. But now, of course, people have seen it, and a lot of people during, you know, the past 18 months of this election cycle have caught up with it. It's the 10th anniversary of the release of Idiocracy, and a lot of people have gone back and watched it and are kind of terrified by how what seemed 10 years ago to be completely, absolutely absurd and could never happen starts to happen in real life. And that makes for, you know, some interesting stuff. I don't know if you guys remember, you guys know the movie Network, obviously. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Network?
I haven't.
It's a great film. And Dan, you've seen it?
I have, yes.
The thing about Network is, and Network is this movie about, you know, news and television news and TV in general. And when it came out in 1976, when Network came out in 1976, it won awards for the sci-fi films of the year award show. Like they had and it won like all the awards. It like swept the sci-fi film awards. Now, if you watch Network now, if you watch it now, it is one of the most prescient movies ever made. Like, Paddy Chayefsky wrote it, one of the greatest writers that has ever lived. Sidney Lumet directed it. And it was, when it came out in 76, everybody was like, oh, God, television could never turn into this. What this vision that Paddy Chayefsky has in Network of what TV is or what it could become would never, ever happen. So it won all these sci-fi awards. And if you watch Network now, TV's worse. Like, Paddy Chayefsky, you know, overshot it and, you know, for 1976, made it as absurd and outrageous, completely outrageous as possible, and it's a damn documentary now. Like, watching Network now is terrifying because everything that he wrote about in 1976 in a completely absurdist and satirical manner is real now. Absolutely real. And wow. So, you know, that's another movie that would be interesting to watch in this day and age. If you've never seen Network, Esmeralda, I highly recommend it because, and keep in mind, when it was written in 70, it was written in 75 and it was released in 76, this was considered outrageous. Like completely, utterly ridiculous, outrageous. It would never, ever happen. Television would never, ever become this. But if you watch it now, Esmeralda, you'll be an hour into it. You're like, yeah, this is TV. This is like regular. This is like regular network TV. It's worth watching for many million. I mean, it is a phenomenal movie. Network, one of the best movies of the 70s, without question. Everybody in it is amazing. But my favorite scene in that movie, and I have many. My favorite scene is Ned Beatty's monologue. He's in one scene. Ned Beatty's in one scene in the movie, just one scene. He's got one monologue. He got himself an Oscar nomination for it. Beatrice Straight is in the movie for about 6 minutes, and she won the Academy Award for it. Peter Finch, who passed away before the film, before the Academy Awards, he won Best Actor that year for Network. Won Best Screenplay. Didn't win Best Picture. Or Best Director, because that went to Rocky, which I love. Don't get me wrong, but come on. All right. Okay, we got a break here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Your best and favorite political movies ever. I've got a bunch here. We got a great list here. It's Election Day. We're talking political movies, and we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. News is next.
No, you don't know the one.
Oh.
Of you.
Good morning, everybody.
And
Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man. Two for Tuesday. Two for Tuesday. Get your requests in. One artist, two songs. You program the bumps. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Aldo, who is about to cast a vote as a new citizen, requested Ray Charles, You Don't Know Me, as part of his twofer. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You're on WGN. Talking about political movies. Dan, did anything pop into your head as far as like memorable political films?
Yeah, one that kind of holds a special place in my heart is The Candidate with Robert Redford. One of my history teachers showed us that in the high school class.
That's a cool history teacher.
Yeah. And, you know, just it was the right time where, you know, you're a teenager starting to become more self-aware about how things really are and the way it really works, and still optimistic, but also kind of catching on to things. And, you know, there's just so many beautiful moments in that movie, you know, and it's a lot of showing and not telling, which is always the preferred way. And then obviously, of course, that famous last line and famous last scene is so appropriate for every election, not alone.
There's no question about it. Directed by the late, great Michael Ritchie, who was a tremendous director, directed Bad News Bears, too, and always had, you know, a sense of cynicism to his work, but like beautiful, smart cynicism, you know. There was a political angle to all the stuff that he did. He was a great satirist, one of the best American satirists in film history. And the candidate's one of my Peter Boyle rules in that movie too.
Fantastic.
But I understand that feeling, like you start to, you know, you get in your teenage years and you start to realize not everything that adults say is true, and right. not everything is real, and you start to get cynical. But that's a very defining. It's a very defining moment. It really is. I can remember specifically when it happened to me, and it wasn't a movie. It was a book.
Right. I remember you talking about this.
Yeah, The Chocolate War by Robert Cormier. My teacher, Miss Nangle, my eighth grade teacher, gave me the book because I had the most book reports, which is really amazing if you think about it. Because in high school, I think I read one book in the entire 4 years that I was in high school, but. Oh, and that's not true, actually. I read a lot, but I just didn't apply myself. Anyway, but she gave me this book, and she's like, I think you'll really like it. And The Chocolate War is this, it's the book that I read, and I was at that time. It was that time for me. And oddly, if I remember correctly, it was like right around the same, it was like the same era where Phantasm came out, and you know, it was a very specific time.
You got The Police, you got Phantasm.
Yeah,
got
all this stuff was happening at The Chocolate War, and I was like, wow, okay. And it was a book that taught me to be cynical. It was a book that I didn't trust all the adults. I started to question things, as you should. I mean, the book itself is about a chocolate sale at a boys' high school, a Catholic boys' high school. And it's a Watergate allegory. It was written in 1974, into 75. And it's an allegory for Watergate. And it was a book that really changed. It hit me right at the right time. I was like 13 when I read it, and I started, you know, and it taught me to be cynical, but in a good way, in a smart way, in a way where you're not going to accept everything without questioning it, you know? And it was a big moment.
Absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing about the candidate is it doesn't – it shows you what he does and the thing and the changes he makes. But it doesn't necessarily, like, damn him for it, you know?
Yeah.
You're still with him, obviously, because you've been with him from the beginning. And that was another thing for me, like, well, would that happen to me? I mean, I could see myself doing some of the things he just did, you know, considering everything that was going on and, you know, just, again, that struggle of like, well, you know, things aren't as good and where would I do? And what would I do? Would I be that good? Would I stand up? Would I fall for the same things? So,
yeah. And, you know, God, that last scene. Esmeralda, are you familiar with the movie The Candidate?
I am not.
It's a Robert Redford film from 77, maybe? Around that time, 76, 77. And he's a guy who's running for Senate. And it's about this whole election and him doing what he needs to do. His campaign manager is played by Peter Boyle. And I don't want to give, for people who have not seen it, I don't want to give away the ending, but the last scene in that movie is just astonishing.
72.
Oh, my God, it's that early. Oh, wow, okay, so it's that early. Wow, that was before All the President's Men.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Wow. Well, we brought it up. I may as well mention All the President's Men, which is an amazing movie if you've never seen it. And it's on this the list from Business Insider, as well it should be. You can't make a list. So is The Candidate. The Candidate comes in at number 10, and it is 1972, yeah. And All the President's Men is number 3 on the list of the political films, and I think that's about right. In one of the best movies about journalism ever made, Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman play Washington Post reporters Bob Woodward and Charles Bernstein, respectively, as they uncover the Watergate scandal, which led to the resignation of President Nixon. All the President's Men is just an amazing movie and a real time capsule of what it was like to work at a newspaper at that specific time in the early 70s. The thing about all the President's Men, Dan, you've seen it, right?
I have, yes.
The thing about all the President's Men, Esmeralda, have you seen All the President's Men?
No.
The thing about it is that it's a lot of scenes of guys on phones, like rotary phones, you know what I mean, from the 70s. And somehow Alan J. Pakula, who directed the movie, makes it nail-bitingly suspenseful. Like, there's a lot of dudes on phones talking to people and taking notes. It's a very, very talky movie. But it's kind of astonishing in its suspense. You know, and everybody in the movie is amazing. Jason Robards, man, please. I mean, everybody in it is great. Jack Warden is great in it. It's a great film. And one of the best movies ever made about journalism. It's a great political thriller. If we're talking, like as we are this morning, about, you know, political movies on this election day, a great one to watch, an absolutely great one to watch. But if you just want to watch a movie also about an amazing film about journalism, specifically at that time period when it was absolutely and completely different than it is now, if you want to see a beautiful capture, a time capsule of that, you should check out All the President's Men. But that's two Robert Redford movies right there. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. One of my favorites of all time is Primary Colors. Primary Colors is a film that came out, and it had the unfortunate problem of being released, and nobody went to see it, didn't do very well at the box office. It's since, you know, has a pretty passionate following. Not as big a following as it should, but it's Primary Colors, and it's based on the book by Anonymous. And it came out in 1998, smack dab in the middle of the whole Lewinsky thing. And the movie is essentially about the campaign of Bill Clinton as he tried to get into office. It's a movie based on a novel that was originally published anonymously, as later revealed to be journalist Joe Klein, who had been covering the presidential campaign of Bill Clinton for Newsweek. The movie stars John Travolta as the spitting image of Clinton in a governor running for office under the direction of Mike Nichols. It's a film that's a funny look at a campaign trail, but it's more than that. It's also, by the way, directed by Mike Nichols. Elaine May wrote it. And the combination of the two of those people, two of the greatest, brightest, funniest people that have a partnership that dates back to the 50s, it's an extraordinary movie. And Travolta is great in it. Everybody's great in it. Kathy Bates is heartbreaking in this movie. You know who's awesome in this movie? Larry Hagman. Larry Hagman, JR from Dallas, kicks ass in Primary Colors. It's a funny movie. Billy Bob Thornton is in it. I mean, it's just got an amazing cast. Emma Thompson plays basically Hillary in the movie. And it's smart and it's funny. And it's ultimately really heartbreaking. Kathy Bates' character in this movie, who plays a troubleshooter, you know, who is working for the campaign in the film, is to her character just represents like the last bastion of non-corruption. And there's things that come to light in the film that are just absolutely heartbreaking. And it's a beautiful movie. I think personally, Primary Colors is one of the best political movies ever made. When you get Mike Nichols and Elaine May again, you know, Elaine May wrote the script, Mike Nichols directed it. You have a top-notch cast telling a really interesting story. It's a great movie. Primary Colors is always, that's always like my first go-to. If I'm thinking about watching political movies of any kind, or if, you know, you're in a mood, you know, for a political mood, or, you know, whatever, it's election day. If you want to get away from it for a couple of hours, and it'll be an interesting take because, you know, the Clintons are involved in this election today. So to watch what kind of went down in 1992, although fictionalized, it's a great film. I can't say enough about it. It's my second favorite John Travolta performance of all time after Blowout. and one of the best political movies ever made. I think it's number one on my list, is Primary Colors. We had a lot more here to talk about, too. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Some other really classic political movies as well to get to. It's Election Day. We're talking politics and movies. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. Two for Tuesday, yeah. Hannah, a listener, requested Regina Spektor, and this is her song, Us. Yeah. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran starts all of the Election Day coverage at 6 right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget to stay tuned all day and all night till the polls close and all the numbers are in. All right. It is Election Day, and we're talking about political movies. Do you have any favorite political movies in your mind? 312-981-7200. And here's Brandon on WGN. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
You were talking about the Chocolate War.
Yes.
And then also before that, you were talking about, Network and Idiocracy.
Yep.
Well, Robert Cormier has a book called I Am the Cheese.
Did you ever read that one? Yep, I've read it. After I read The Chocolate War, I basically devoured everything that guy wrote.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. But, you know, if you remember, I Am the Cheese, it was weirdly written. Like, it was a script between A and T. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And they never explain what it is. But, you know, looking back on it, it's almost like technology, the way that, who are we, you know?
Yeah.
Am I my Facebook page? Am I my email? Am I my iPhone?
Right.
And
right.
In the end, he goes crazy, sort of, and we go crazy with him.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a great writer. Cormier was a great writer. He wrote a sequel to Chocolate War, too.
Really?
Yeah, he called Beyond the Chocolate War. It's not nearly as good as the original book, but it's pretty great. Yeah, that book meant a lot to me. The Chocolate War was like a game changer for me when I was 13. I read that book, and it was like that and Catcher in the Rye were both books that just like really made a huge impact on me when I was a teenager.
Me too. You know, I had a teacher, I think it was in seventh grade, and really I really wasn't into nonfiction at all. And she's like, you know, I think that you would really get into this guy. And I did.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Brandon, thanks for the call, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Esmeralda, do you ever watch any political movies?
I recently was, a V made me watch Bullworth. And it was really great.
It's a great movie.
I really liked it. It made me cry at the end. Yeah. I was really bummed.
Bullworth, Warren Beatty, co-wrote and directed that movie. In fact, that's the last movie he directed was Bullworth. 18 years ago, he's got a movie coming out next month that he co-wrote, he directed, he's in it, he plays Howard Hughes in it.
Oh, I saw that.
And
I don't know.
Oh, I can't wait.
It looked kind of silly.
I can't wait. I think Warren Beatty's one of the best American filmmakers that's ever lived. And not only that, I think he's a terrific actor. I basically love everything Warren Beatty does, and I think he's an extraordinarily gifted director. The guy directed Reds. So, you know, that for me right there, you get a lifetime pass. You directed Reds. So that's it. That's it. One of the greatest American films ever made.
Also, Bullworth had a really great soundtrack.
Yeah, the soundtrack was great.
Ghetto Superstar. I still listen to that that song.
And just Warren Beatty rapping is worth the price of admission alone, you know?
That was great.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It came in at number 9 on this list, Esmeralda, of all the political movies, number 9. It says, Warren Beatty found a way to jab at the political establishment with his funny look at a Democratic senator who, after hiring a hitman to kill him, goes on a 2-day truth-telling rant with the help of a black activist played by Halle Berry.
Yeah, I was not expecting to really like it, and I really did.
Yeah, it's a great one. I'm glad you mentioned that one. I love that movie. That is a great movie. Dan, have you seen Bullworth?
You know, I've only seen bits and pieces, yeah. i.e. the rap scene.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, one of the most appropriate and kind of, again, prescient films that you could watch is a film called A Face in the Crowd. Now, this is an extraordinary piece of work. 1957, Elia Kazan directed it. But it really, it's kind of, if you watch it now in this current, you know, political climate, you know, either, you know, you watch it tomorrow when this is all over or whatever, but you can look back on watching this movie and look back on what happened in the, over the past like 18 months or so during this whole election cycle and the people that have been involved and the candidates and all that stuff. A Face in the Crowd is a movie that I think is a must watch and is also kind of what's happening now. Andy Griffith is in it, but he's so far from Andy Taylor. You know what I mean? He plays, but here's what they write about. It says, most will remember Andy Griffith for playing the squeaky clean sheriff in The Andy Griffith Show. However, one of his best performances was playing the despicable Arkansas drifter Larry Lonesome Rhodes, who becomes one of the biggest commentators in the country thanks to his unfiltered good old boy talk. However, his thirst for power leads to his demise. It's an extraordinary movie, and it has further power, and you know what the statements that it made, what the movie was about, and the ideas that Kazan put into the film are appropriate for present time completely and utterly. I mean, this movie could have been released today, and would have been, you know, appropriate. It's a great film, and Andy Griffith is phenomenal in it. It's called A Face in the Crowd, if you've never seen it. Tony sends a text that said, Dave. Yeah, Dave's a sweet movie. You guys ever see Dave?
It's a remote dropper for me.
It's what?
A remote dropper.
Yeah. Kevin Kline plays a guy who looks exactly like the president, and they swap him out. Ivan Reitman, I believe, is the... Dan, could you look that up? I think it's Ivan Reitman. I'm almost positive it's Ivan Reitman who directed it. Sigourney Weaver is in it as well. Kevin Kline's great in it. It's a really good film. And it's a light one, too. Like, you can laugh at that one. Like, if you want to get away from all the serious politics and stuff that's been happening, and you just want to have a laugh, Dave is a great one to put on the list to watch. 331 area code says Air Force One. Oh, God. And, says, I loved it. Air Force One. Get off my plane. That movie is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And, of course, the subtle villain performance by Gary Oldman. let's see. 708 area code. My favorite has to be My Fellow Americans. That was with Jack Lemmon and James Garner. I only saw it the one time. They were former presidents, and they were... Yeah, they were. I believe they were, the plot was that they... Dan, do you know the plot synopsis?
Two former U.S. presidents, right, hated rivals, joined forces to expose the current corrupt president at the risk of their lives.
Right.
And yes, Ivan Reitman was the director of
Dave. Of Dave, okay. 815 area code, what about Black Sheep? Oh, come on. Black Sheep?
It's politics.
Yes, I suppose. All right. No, it's a political movie. It involves politics. That's what we're talking about. 312-981-7200. We're talking political movies here on election day. Get out and vote. It is incredibly important that you get out and cast your vote. Everybody, vote, vote, vote. I did my civic duty already, and I'm very proud of it. And you should be proud, too, to get out there today and vote. We'll talk more about political movies a little bit later on. Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head in a battle of celebrity name game. All right. News is up next. No need to say goodbye. Two for Tuesday, yeah, man. Two for Tuesday continues. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. And that was Hannah with her second of the Two for Tuesday, Regina Spektor, the call. So there you go. And, yeah, 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. It is Election Day. We all know how important that is. Get out and vote. It is so important that you get out there and vote. And stay tuned here to WGN. The opening bell is at 5 o'clock with Steve Grzanich, and then Steve Cochran comes in at 6. Full Election Day coverage right here on 720 WGN. Make sure you stay tuned throughout the day and evening. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, and we're talking about political movies, this being Election Day. Thought it would be fun to talk about political films. And, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So let's go to the phones. Here is LJ on WGN. Hi, LJ.
What's going on, Nick?
Hey.
I'm going to go back maybe 3 decades. I'm not sure. Maybe even longer. There's a movie called Power. Starred Richard Gere.
Oh, yeah. That was around 86 or 87 that came out. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We talked 30 years. Yeah, it was a real good movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one in a long time. I'm trying to remember who directed it. I think it was Alan Pakula directed that.
Right.
Who also directed?
I said Pakula. I was about to say Pakula, but yeah. Okay.
He directed All the President's Men, as we were talking about earlier. Yeah, no, that's a good movie. One of Richard Gere's better.
I learned a lot from that movie. You know. What color tie to wear, and which profile to show. It was real interesting.
Yeah, good movie. All right, LJ, thanks for the call, man.
No problem.
Take care.
Sidney Lumet.
Oh, Lumet directed Power. Yeah. Oh, Lumet, of course. Okay, let's see. What else we got here? We got texts coming in. 570 area code Flamingo Road with Sidney Green Street. 815 area code, American President. That's a good movie. That's a really good movie. Aaron Sorkin wrote that. And it's Michael Douglas plays the president, and he's a widower, and he meets Annette Bening, and they start dating. That's the basic premise of the movie. It's Dreyfus who plays the Republican.
The rival candidate.
Yeah, the rival candidate in that movie. And Martin Sheen plays his campaign advisor, chief of staff, who Martin Sheen would go on to play the president in Aaron Sorkin's The West Wing. That's a great movie, American President.
Another
really
remote dropper for me.
Yeah. And that's another one that's like Dave. It's fun to watch. Rob Reiner, I think one of the best movies, maybe the best movie Rob Reiner ever directed. Well, no, Spinal Tap's the best movie ever directed. But that's like way up there at the top of, you know, when Rob Reiner was making great movies. That's way near the top. Great cast. Annette Bening is luminous in that movie. Oh, my God. Just gorgeous and beautiful and charming. Yeah, that's a good one, too. And that's also a fun one. So if you're looking for something not very serious, there's serious stuff in it. He gives a speech at the end of that movie that's pretty, I think one of the best monologues or speeches that Aaron Sorkin has ever written and delivered beautifully by Michael Douglas. I wish it were like a real, like that was a real thing. Like, so, 773 area code says, I know it's not a movie, but it will probably be one day. The play Hamilton, love it or hate it, it reignited people's interest in our founding fathers and the formation of our country. Well, it certainly is a phenomenon. That's for sure. People paying like $400 to see that damn thing. I've heard the soundtrack. It's fine. I don't understand people going completely gaga over it. I think there's some good stuff in it. Did you see Hamilton, Dan?
I know. I've listened to the soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah. People are losing their mind over it. 847 area code says, I like The Contender with Joan Allen. Well, you know who played the president in The Contender. That would be Jeff Bridges. So, right there, you get an automatic plus in my book. All right, let's see. Also on this list is The Manchurian Candidate, which is a really, really great film. And I even like the remake that Jonathan Demme made. And I know that's like, you know, some people are saying that's sacrilege to like it, but I like the remake. Not as good as the original, obviously, but I was surprised at how solid Demme's remake of The Manchurian Candidate was. And the original was 1962. Frank Sinatra plays a former prisoner of war who realizes that a fellow soldier in his platoon has been brainwashed to be an assassin for a communist conspiracy. It's a Cold War thriller. It found modern interest when it was released, but after the rumors that Sinatra demanded the film be taken out of theaters after the assassination of his friend President Kennedy, the film turned into a classic and then was re-released in the late 80s. Yeah, it was, you know, it's never been proven that that Sinatra wanted it to be shelved after Kennedy's assassination. It's been kind of assumed that that's what it was, and it seems like a logical reason for Sinatra not to want to have that out there. Also on this list, coming in at number 19, and I would actually put it a little bit higher, is Election with Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick. This is Alexander Payne, who would go on to do so many great movies, including The Descendants and Sideways and Nebraska. One of my favorite writer-directors. And this was like his first movie was Citizen Ruth with Laura Dern, which was also a really good movie. But this was the movie that really announced the incredible talent of Alexander Payne. And it's still my favorite Reese Witherspoon performance. I don't care. I mean, I love Reese Witherspoon. I think she's been great in a lot of stuff. But this is still my favorite performance of hers. And it says here, Alexander Payne's look at high school election and the ramifications that occur when a teacher is fed up with an overachiever running for student body president. And it's as entertaining and as very similar and eerie to how grown politicians act. You know what's really funny in that? You know what's really funny in Election, Dan? You've seen Election, right?
I have, yes.
Oh, it's so good. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Election?
I have.
It's so good. You know who's really funny in it? Chris Klein is hysterical in Election. It was the same year as American Pie. Because Election came out before American Pie, if I remember correctly. Because American Pie came out summer of 99, and I think Election came out in the spring or late winter of 99. But Chris Klein has there's that moment, it's so beautifully directed by Alexander Payne, he has that moment where he's giving his speech in front of the entire class, and Alexander Payne, I think, sets up six different camera angles to shoot him from and intercuts it between. It's just, if you watch it, the rhythm of that scene, the way it's directed, and the way that Chris Klein delivers the speech and has all those little awkward pauses, I think there's an edit for every pause, and it's like the coverage of that. It's one of my favorite directorial choices in a comedy ever. Was just I'm gonna have seven different cameras on Chris Klein when he's giving this stupid speech, and poorly delivering this stupid speech. It's gonna make it look, the camera coverage is gonna make it look like it's the most important speech in the history of politics. Oh, man, Reese Witherspoon is great. Tracy Flick. And Matthew Broderick, also one of my favorite Matthew Broderick performances. He does stuff in that movie that, you know, because for a long time, Matthew Broderick had the reputation of, you know, like, oh, aw shucks kind of guy, you know, especially in his teenage years, you know, Ferris Bueller, even though Ferris Bueller is the most despicable character of all time. But, you know, like, he played a lot of those kind of, but he, the stuff that he does, some really awful stuff in Election. So he's some terrible behavior on the part of an adult. and some very strange stuff. And the 847 area code says, I don't know what there's any correlation for this year's contest, but I love, love, love Election. Getting more love for Election. Yeah. If you've not seen it, check it out. It's also very funny. If you're looking for something to take your mind off of things, and if you want to laugh, you know, a Dave, American President, and Election will do that. Election, the funniest of all three of those. So, all right, we're going to talk more political movies. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Two for Tuesday continues, and then Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head in another battle of celebrity name game for the radio. So, there you go. Yeah. getting funky. Yeah. Two for Tuesday. 708 area code. I requested Roger Troutman, Max Axe. There you go. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Caller number five is Cole. Hey, Cole.
Hey, Nick.
Congratulations.
Hey, thanks.
You got to pick up the certificate at Tree Time, all right? You get a certificate, and you got yourself a very cool desktop artificial tree, and it's sports-themed, and it's awesome. So pick it up at Tree Time, and it's all yours, buddy.
All right, fantastic. Thanks, Nick.
All right, Cole, take care. And I hope you don't find your name in a stocking this season.
All right.
His name was Cole, Esmeralda, see what I did there?
Oh, okay.
His name was Cole.
I was going to say, I'm like, what traditions do you have about Cole, putting people's names in stockings?
His name is Cole, and if you put that name in a stocking, then you've been bad.
Mm-hmm.
Cole, get it?
Right.
I'm just trying to explain my highfalutin comedy.
It's very funny.
Yeah, you sound completely delighted.
I'm laughing.
On the inside,
yes.
Yeah, where it counts.
I'm amused.
Marty says Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Yeah, I mean, but what do you, come on. Come on. Number one on the on this list from Business Insider. And, you know, it's appropriate. It's Frank Capra. Frank Capra's look at a naive senator who ends up fighting a jaded and corrupt Washington, D.C. has become a pillar in the political movie genre. A big reason is for the performance by Jimmy Stewart as Jefferson Smith, playing someone who fights for the belief that good can come out of the halls of the Senate. He gives one of his finest performances. And if you've never seen Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, now more than ever is a really great time to catch up with that movie. I think now more than ever we need a little Frank Capra in our life. And Mr. Smith Goes to Washington from 1939, as good as any political movie gets. And with, an iconic, legendary performance by Jimmy Stewart. You know, the only time I ever actually was shaking when I met a celebrity was I got to meet Jimmy Stewart, and I was literally shaking. It was Jimmy Stewart.
That is a big one.
He signed my Vertigo poster, and I just didn't know what to say. And this was a couple of years before he died. He was on Roy Leonard's show, and I came down, and Roy was like, yeah, come on in. You can sit in on the interview. And I'm like, man, I'm going to sit in on the interview with Jimmy Stewart. What in God's name is happening? Yeah, that was the most freaked out I've ever been with a celebrity. Like, I was like, when I handed him, Mr. Stewart, would you sign my Vertigo poster? I was shaking when I handed it to him. It wasn't a poster. It was actually a lobby card. But, you know. He was kind enough to. He was promoting. You remember when he was writing poems? Remember when he released books of poetry? You guys probably don't remember this. In the 80s, he released books of poetry, and he would go on Johnny Carson. I watched Johnny Carson every once in a while, by the way. He would go on Johnny Carson and read these poems. And then, you know, they became so popular that he released a book of poetry, like Jimmy Stewart's poems. It just started out as a lark. He would read them on Carson's show, and then everybody loved him so much, they wanted them. So he had a book of poetry, and that's what he was plugging when he came in to do Roy's show. Yeah, that was the only time I got freaked out when I had Andy Summers on the show, the guitarist for The Police. I freaked out when he was on. And then Jamie Lee Curtis and Catherine Bigelow. There's a picture of me, Catherine Bigelow, who had directed Near Dark, who would go on to direct Zero Dark Thirty, win the Oscar for, why am I blanking, Hurt Locker. And she directed Blue Steel with Jamie Lee Curtis, and they came to town to promote it. And I sat in on the interview with Roy on that one. There's a picture of me standing between Jamie Lee Curtis, who was my teenage crush and still is my man. I mean, I was in love with Jamie Lee Curtis. Thought she was so hot. There's a picture of me standing between Jamie Lee Curtis and Catherine Bigelow. And I just have the most ridiculous grin on my face. And Jamie Lee Curtis, they, you know, like Roy really, you know, was like, oh, this, you have no idea how much this guy loves you. Like Roy really went out of his way to make me incredibly embarrassed because he knew how much I had a crush and I love Jamie Lee Curtis so much. And so Roy went out of his way to like make it impossible. But then Jamie Lee Curtis would just started flirting with me. And she was like being all sexy and stuff and very touchy. And she was doing it on purpose just to mess with me. But I'll never forget it. By the way, this, that same day, Dan, do you know who he was on right before them? This was in early 1990. Early 1990, right before, you know, so Blue Steel came out in like February of 90. So this was like February of 1990, and the guest right before Jamie Lee Curtis and Kathryn Bigelow came in, and they crossed paths on the way out, and Jamie Lee Curtis wanted to get a picture with him and, like, you know, say hi to him. Jerome Walton.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, rookie of the year, man. He was on with Roy. Jerome Walton, then he leaves. Jamie Lee Curtis is like, oh, my God, that was Jerome Walton. She was all excited about Jerome Walton. My parents, by the way, have that picture framed in their living room of me between Jamie Lee Curtis and Kathryn Bigelow because I looked like an idiot. Because I'm just like, hi, go. I turned into Jack. Like, why? I lost all function of anything. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Kathryn Bigelow? You ever see what she looks like?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She's like a statuesque, incredible, like, beautiful woman and happens to be, like, one of the best filmmakers ever who's directed some of my favorite movies, including Point Break. So, all right. Let's see. 773 area code says, Dick. If you've not seen the movie Dick, because I know people are probably writing down 427 right now, it's a great movie about Richard Nixon and the Watergate hearings, and it's Michelle Williams and Kirsten Dunst, and it's hilarious. Hilarious. If you've never seen it, Will Ferrell and Bruce McCullough from Kids in the Hall, they play Woodward and Bernstein in it. Dan Hedaya plays Richard Nixon. It is a phenomenally funny, great movie that no one has seen from Andrew Fleming, director Andrew Fleming. All right. So there you go. All right, those are some more. You know, we've got the list of the 22 that we were talking about on our Facebook page if you would like to check that out. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up, and then Esmeralda and I will go head-to-head for a little celebrity name game, the home version from Craig Ferguson. All right.